Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Spiritual Discourse. In this, you are about to listen an overview of Shaivam and Siddhanta. The title is Tevaram and Thiruvasagam Continuation, presented by Shiva Madhusudanan Kalaichelvam. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Jnana Sambandha, the one who is considered to be an incarnation of Subramanya, for the jnanam that he had. I am not sure if anyone else in the world has been blessed ever with Shiva jnanam like that of Jnana Sambandha Peruman. Born in a Brahmin community, a family in the Brahmin community, to Shivapada Hridaya, what a beautiful name for a devotee of Shiva. The one who carries the holy feet of Shiva in his Hridaya always. That's the father's name. So he was born to Shivapada Hridaya in the sacred town of Shirgadi in around the 7th century. Appar and Sambandhar are contemporaries, an overlap in the time that they were active here in this lokam. So he was born, and even before receiving any formal education or otherwise, when he was just 3 years of age, Parameshwara thought he should be brought in to the fold to render the Shiva Kainkaryam, to awaken the concept of Shiva within all of us. So we all know this popular episode of how he was blessed. That day when he was 3 years of age, he accompanied his father out of good fortune. He cried when his father went out to have a bath. So the father took the little child with him. He was made to sit in the banks of the tank where his father took a dip. And when his father went in to take a dip, the Akamarshana Snanam as we call it, going deep into water to ensure we are fully cleansed. So when he took that, the little kid, not seeing his father out there in water, started crying. That was good enough a reason to Toniyappar, the presiding deity of Shirgadi, to be accompanied by Umaya Parvati. They appeared in front of the kid in Rishabhavahana. Parameshwara ordered Parvati to offer her Stanakshiram to him. So she breastfed him with what is referred to as Shivajnana. In a golden cup, she offered milk. And what more one needs to understand everything below the sky and above it. So that was more than enough to Sambandha. And his father, after having his bath, came out only to see the kid's little mouth, the coral lips, dripping out with milk. And when asked what had happened, who has fed him, because he was not worried. Any parent cannot take it. I mean, seeing his kid eating random stuff, food given by random people. So out of the fear of who gave it, to know what had happened, when he asked the kid as to what happened and who gave him this food, that is when the reply came out as the most popular and the opening verses of the 12th Thirumurais, the composition wherein Jnana Sambandhar says it was Shiva who asked Uma Parvati to breastfeed him, and through the milk, which is Shiva Jnana. So he says, he gives out the complete description of Parameshwara, which is to be understood not just literally, there are more deeper layers of meaning to it, all of it, and he starts singing. He says it was this lord of the most greatest shrines, Brahmapuram, of the 12 names of Shirgadi, Brahmapuram is one. So he says it was Shiva here, he raised his little hand as a toddler, pointed out to the Vimana of Toniyappar and said it was the lord of this shrine who fed me milk. And from then on, the kid understands that it has got nothing to do with its parents and goes around on a pilgrimage, welcomed by people, kings, everybody, when Shiva himself has approved him. So everybody celebrated him as the most knowledgeable and the most blessed soul and followed him in huge numbers on his pilgrimage. Similar to Appar, he also performed very many miracles. Every time a shrine he visited and there was someone who was fighting against the odds or feeling bad or having lost someone, Jnana Sambandha Peruman immediately prayed to Shiva to perform a miracle. The most popular being, he bringing back to life a pot full of bones and ashes of a girl who's died. His father had saved the ashes because he thought he could groom that little girl to be married to Jnana Sambandha, but Sambandha Peruman brought her back to life and became more like her foster father to her. And this miracle happened in the shrine of Kapalishwara in Mailapur. So this miracles of this level, in various cases, people bringing back to life and all that, was performed by Jnana Sambandha. But the most important of the miracles that he performed is the one that happened in Madurai as a venue. I told you about how Sambandhar and Appar Peruman got along and traveled together on their pilgrimage and visited Vedaranyam, where this miracle of opening the temple door and closing it back again through their songs happened. And there, Sambandha Peruman was received by a minister from the Pandya kingdom called Kulachirayar. He explained to him as to how the Jains have managed to influence the Pandya king, Kun Pandyan as he was called then, told him how the king is under the complete control of the Jains and how Shaiva temples aren't receiving the royal endowments and pujas are not being performed and all that, and requested him on behalf of the queen Mangayar Karasiyar, one more Nayanmar, the minister Kulachirayar is also another Nayanmar, and so is the king Nindrasir Nidamar. So he requested him to come to Madurai. Appar Peruman suggests, having known the way the Jains handle issues, he said like, no, you shouldn't probably be going because the planetary positions aren't favorable, maybe you should not venture. That is when Jnanasambandha Peruman, out of his benevolence, gave out the Kolaru Padigam, where he said, for Shiva devotees, the planetary positions and other things cannot command their life. So he departs to Madurai along with Kulachirai Nayanar, the minister, stays there, and with the blessings of Shiva, wins over the Jains through various debates. Finally, the debate was to take up Shaivam religion for the Jains. So if they lose, they'll have to take up Shaivam religion, and as expected, they lost, and Jainism came to an end in Madurai with that. Their influence at least came to a close with that. And the king, who was suffering from another very serious ailment, was also brought back to life. And the person who had a hunched back called as Kun Pandyan stood up in all his glory and was called as Nindrasir Nidumaran, the one who stood up as a great king. So that is one of the most important miracles that was performed by him. In fact, Nambiyandar Nambi in his Thiruthondra Thogai is the habit of documenting the most important episodes of all these Nayanmars. This is the important episode that he documents in one of the two songs that he has composed on Jnanasambandha Peruman. So after performing similar miracles, he goes on a trip to several hundred shrines again, finally reaches Tirunallur Perumanam, a shrine near Chidambaram, the other banks of Kolidam River, and ventures into a wedlock, a married life, with an equally staunch Shiva devotee called Stotra Purnamba, and it was that day that was decided for his liberation. And that grand wedding celebrations, everybody who attended it, everybody who participated in it, directly or indirectly, that includes the people who came there to even cook the wedding feast, all of them entered Shivajnana Mukti. So they were all taken in along with Jnanasambandha Peruman. You had Trinilakanda Yalpanar, one of the other Nayanmars, a musician, a panar, who accompanied Jnanasambandha on his pilgrimage to play a musical instrument as Sambandhar sang, he along with his wife Muruganayanar, and several of them who were in the Tirukutam or the group of devotees of Jnanasambandha, entered Moksham. So his songs are compiled as the first three Tirumurais of the 12 collection, and the chanting of Tirumurai always starts with the first song of Sambandha. It starts as Thodudaya Cheviyan, a philosophically deep padigam, and several of it is like that. So you have padigams where miracles were performed. Till date, people use it for similar requirements when someone falls ill or a particular body function, there is an ailment in a particular part of the body, or people have financial troubles and all that. There are these kind of padigams which are prescribed to be chanted, and till date has been performing several miracles in the lives of several of us. Third Nayanmar is Sundaramurthiyar, and he was born in the community of Adishaivas, the ordained priests of Shiva temples, the people who safeguard the agamas to conduct the rituals in temples, to a person called Shadayanar and Isainyaniyar in a place called Tirunavalur in central Tamil Nadu, in north, central north part of Tamil Nadu. So that's where he was born. And he, as a little child, when he was playing on the streets, the local king called Narasingha Munayaraya, who also is an Nayanmar, happens to see him and thinks that he should groom the child because of the brilliance in his face. The divinity in his face was good enough for the king to go on to probably even adopt him and groom him as the king's own son. And when he was of right age, his father tries to get him married, and a huge wedding celebrations is planned in Trinavalur. That is when Shiva wanted to intervene and bring him into the fold of Shiva devotees. So Shiva enters the wedding hall as an old sage, as a more like a rishi, and walks in with a palm leaf manuscript, which he says is a legal agreement that his Sundaramurthiya's grandfather had with him, telling that all his, the generations of people to come in his family will all be the slaves to the person who is carrying the document. And he says, I am coming from Trivandrum, another sacred town very near Trinavalur. And he says, he hands over, he says, he commands the wedding be stopped because Sundaramurthy himself is his slave. And Sundarar is not, he's totally surprised, not sure as to why all this is happening. Starts questioning him, in fact addresses him, starts addressing Shiva. He starts shouting at him, you know, the kind of sense that will, the kind of immediate reaction that anybody would give, to pound upon him and call him a fool. He says, you're a lunatic probably. Where is all this document coming from? And then there is a court scene, the complete wedding, the audience there shift over to the court, and the legal documents are all checked, and it is all in the favor of the old man who walked into stopping the wedding. And apparently Sundaramurthiya loses the legal battle also, and with no choice follows this old man as his slave. And the old man, who is none but Shiva, walks him into the temple of Trivandrum and disappears there, only to reveal to Sundaramurthiya about his purpose in life and how it was Parameshwara's divine play to stop him at that level from entering into a wedlock, bring him into a fold of devotees to do his own service to Shaiva Samayam. From then on, Sundaramurthiya starts singing his praise, and when he was not sure as to how to start describing Shiva, the best choice, the best word that he probably chose was to call him a lunatic. So the first word with which he addressed when Shiva entered into the wedding hall, he calls him a lunatic, pitta. So that becomes the key word to start calling him. That is the kind of relationship that Shiva himself enjoys when he is in the company of devotees like Sundaramurthy, who has nothing else to think about. That is why we generally associate Sundaramurthy with the yoga bhaga of the yoga traditions of Shaiva Agama. He just carried Shiva simply from within always. That is when this kind of a relationship as a sakha or as a friend can be established. So he carried Shiva within him, and he was the chosen devotee to establish this route of devotion. From there, Sundaramurthiya starts on his pilgrimage, visits Trinavalur, comes to Chidambaram and stays there, involves himself in the majesty of the dance of Nataraja Peruman, sings a lot of songs there, and that attracts a lot of devotees. From there, his pilgrimage continues to reach Tiruvarur Kshetram. So the Kshetram that is referred to as Mulasthan, the beauty, the majesty, and all of that of the temple of Tiruvarur and Tyagaraja Swami kind of binds Sundara with Tiruvarur. Everything that happens in Tiruvarur till day will involve, every ritual, festival and all that will involve the presence of Sundara in one way or the other. He was commanding a friendly relationship with Tyagaraja Swami. Not sure if anyone else has established that kind of a relationship, but that was how special Sundaramurthiya was. He gets married to Paravayar, a person who was also a woman who was engaged in serving the Lord there at Tiruvarur. And as a couple, they start serving Shiva together and Shiva devotees together. There are several miracles that Tyagaraja Swami does for him. When he was in need of gold, when he was in Vriddhachalam, Parameshwara gives him bags of gold coins, helps him getting that transferred to Tiruvarur. And when he was in need of paddy grains to cook and feed the people who have come there to attend the festival of Tyagaraja Swami in Tiruvarur, Shiva commands his Bhutaganas to carry truckloads of grains to be delivered in Sundaramurthiya's residence. So a lot of such miracles happen. Sundaran became a center point of focus in Tiruvarur temple. Yesterday we also saw about how Shiva utilized Sundara to canonize and publish the list of Nayanmars through the episode that involved Garanminda Nayanar. And Sundara becomes the most important person in Tiruvarur temple traditions. And he is joined by several other Nayanmars who become very close associates with him, like Perumalai Kurumbar, who was not in physical contact with Sundara, who was not actually seeing him or staying along with him, but from his own place, he understood every, he could envision every move of Sundara, that on the day that Sundaramurthyar made his Kailasha Yatra finally, Perumalai Kurumbar also accompanied him. So one such close friend is Cheraman Peruman, an Ayanmar, who was a Chera king, who came to know the greatness of Sundaramurthyar, joined him here in Tiruvaru, and wanted to accompany him in pilgrimages. Finally, invites him over to his place, to the Chera Desa, Malayala Desa. Sundaramurthyar went along with him to the shrines there, en route visits Avinashi and other places, enters Kerala Desa, went to the temple of Tiruvanjikkalam, which is believed to be one of the ancient capital cities of the Chera kings, went in there, visited the temple, sang the praise of Shiva, which Parameshwara thought to be the time that is enough to bring him back to Kailasha. During one of his pilgrimages, he visits the temple town of Tiruvottiyur, where he falls in love with another woman called Shangiliyar, who was also serving in the temple, and he wanted to get married to her, but he was already married to Paravayar in Tiruvaru. So Shangiliyar wanted to take a promise from him, requested him to promise that he'll never part with her, he will always stay with her, but Sundaramurthyar was on a continuous pilgrimage, but desired to make a promise to her, requested the deity there at Tiruvottiyur, told him that tomorrow I might come here to give a promise to her, may I request you not to be here, I cannot promise to her in front of you and then breach it, so I request you to go out and stay under the Sthalavriksham when I do this promise. Parameshwara told about this agreement to Shangilinachaya, and she oversmarted Sundara, in fact, requested him to do the promise which in front of the tree that is outside, the Sthalavriksham. Sundara didn't mind it, went on to do the promise finally, and when he was missing Tyagaraja so much, he betrayed the promise and walked out of Tiruvottiyur. That is when he was blinded. He lost the power in both his eyes. So he struggled as a blind person to still continue on his pilgrimage, visited more shrines, and in Tiruvanbakkam, when he requested Shiva for his eyesight, he was just gifted back with a stick to support his pilgrimage. Comes to Kanchipuram, visits Ekambareshwara shrine, sings there to be gifted only with the eyesight in his left eye. Manages with one eyesight, come to Tiruvaru, and right at the entrance of Tiruvaru, he composes an extremely moving song. The way he commanded the relationship with Tyagaraja Swami, he starts saying, telling him, all that I have done is wanted to be in eternal service for you as your slave, and if this is what I am going to be blessed with, you know, may your praise live long for having blinded your own slave. So moved by that, Tyagaraja Swami gives him a vision in his right eye also, and from then on he continues his pilgrimage and finally comes to Tiruvanjikkalam. On the day that was fixed for his Shivajnanam, for his Mukti, Parameshwara, being his close friend, sends him a celestial white elephant, and he mounts the elephant, and to be followed by Cheraman Peruman in his horse, he takes an aerial journey all the way up to Sri Kailasha Parvatam, enters into Kailasha to be received by a grand reception by the musicians and dancers and all the celestial beings in Kailasha, ventured into the divine hall, had a darshan of Parameshwara and Parvati seated there as Kailashadipati, and with the request from Sundara, which was approved by Parameshwara, Cheraman Peruman starts singing their journey, which he titles as Thirukkailaya Jnana Ula, the complete journey that they took to reach Kailasha, and he remains in Kailasha in eternal service of Parameshwara. In fact, this journey that Sundaramurthyar took to Kailasha is utilized as the preface by Shekhidar Peruman in his Periya Purana. So the narrative for all the stories is brought through this journey of Shiva, through Sundaramurthyar to reach Kailasha, which is envisioned by Upamanyu Maharishi, who was there in Kailasha. He sees a glowing, brilliant flame coming towards Kailasha, and his disciples ask him, what is that? And he starts telling about the greatness of Sundara and how Shiva is bringing him in to Kailasha. So that's about Sundaramurthy. And finally, the most interesting of all the charitrams of these Nayanmars is that of Manikavachaka Peruman, who was brought into the fold in a very, very unique way. While Jnanasambandha Peruman achieved moksha when he was 16 and when Appar achieved it when he was in the 80s, and once they attained the darshan of Shiva, being blessed by him, they ventured and they were liberated out. But it is a little different in the story of Manikavachaka. He was born in the community of Amadhya Brahmana, a community of Brahmins, a sub-community of Brahmins who were scholars to help the king in the governance of the country, and they were also scholars in traditional medicines and all that. He was born in a place called Thiruvadavur to extremely pious and devoted couple. He was groomed with all the knowledge that comes along and by his own father as guru, and went on to become a popular scholar, only to become the minister of the Pandya kings in Madurai. There is a lot of academic debate about the time of Manikavachaka. A few scholars put him way ahead of all the other Nayanmars, calling him to belong to the 3rd century and all that. But more historically appropriate, going by his own works and all that, is when we can put Manikavachaka in around the mids of 9th century, around 850 C. That's the time of 2nd Varuna Pandya. I leave it for an academic discussion, but this is how close we can take it to. That's probably why he was not mentioned in the works of Sundaramurthy Nayanar in his Thiruthondar Thogai, because he comes much later to Sundaramurthyar. So Vadavurar, as he is called, because he was born in Vadavur, he goes on to become the minister of the Pandya kings, an advisor to him. He was one fine day bestowed with the duty to go to the eastern shores, go to the port towns there, and purchase good breed and horses that were traded from other countries. So being a minister, he was with a lot of confidence, he was given a lot of money to carry and get these good horses. On his way to the eastern shores, to the port towns, Manikavachaka, when he was camped in a place called Thiruperundurai, he ventures a mystic yogi seated under a tree. And one fine morning he sees him, and the divinity and the brilliance of the yogi kind of pulled Manikavachaka towards him. And not knowing what he is doing, he just went, submitted himself to the yogi. He was none but Parameshwara himself. So Shiva treats him extremely special to bless him with 3 different types of dikshas. There are several stages in the diksha, several ways of being initiated. One of which is being initiated at an early stage through the divine vision, the dritti, the jnana dritti of the teachers, the acharyas. So Shiva just sees him. I'm not sure if that is the most appropriate word, but that's how close I can go in English. So he just looks at Manikavachaka. Next he touches him with his divine hands, and finally Manikavachaka just submits in front of him, and Parameshwara gifts him with the blessing of resting his holy feet on the head of Manikavachaka. So that is what is, these all 3 are called as Nayana, Sparsha and Trivadi Diksha. So the Paradiksha also happens, and with that moment Manikavachaka attains immense jnana, and every other layers of bonding that was probably holding him onto this world is shed. That very moment enters the level of highest jnani, a spiritually, intellectually supreme being, and starts venerating the greatness of Parameshwara. At that moment he wanted to express his devotion to Shiva, and something from within commands him to construct a temple right at the place where Shiva gifted him the Diksha. And he goes on to spend the money that he was carrying to buy horses in constructing the temple. After several months of not coming back, the Pandya king is curious as to what happened to this minister who went on to buy the horses, and later finds out that this is what has happened. He is busy in Thiruperundurai constructing a temple with the money that the king had sent from the government coffers. He is chained, brought to Madurai, tortured, asking as to why he did this, and one of the torture was to get him tied on the hot burning river bed of Vaigai. It was a dry bed, and he was just tied on flat, and notwithstanding the heat of his devotee, Shiva commanded that the Vaigai river start flooding. The whole city of Madurai was getting flooded, and that is when Pandya king releases him and requests one person from each family to come over to help bund up, embank the banks of to fill the banks of Vaigai River, and that is when the Pittukku Manchumandha Leelai happens. One more way of Shiva bringing out the greatness of Manikavachaka. And Shiva comes as a representative to the king and says, on this particular day, all the horses that were bought by Manikavachaka will reach Madurai. And the horses do reach, king is very happy. And that very night, the horses all somehow miraculously turn out to be foxes that were tied in the stables, and they go into the city of Madurai and ransack the city, plunder it all. And once again, the king is clueless about all this, and only what he could understand was that the king, his minister Manikavachaka, is a divine being, a spiritually elevated soul, and so releases him off from the royal services, and Manikavachaka ventures into another journey. He stays for a very long time in Uttarakosamangai, yet another favorite spot for Manikavachaka, on which he has sung several compositions. Then he makes his pilgrimage to many towns, which includes Shirgadi, Thiruvannamalai, Thiru Arur, and many towns, and finally reaches Chidambaram, where on the specific day, the Maganakshatram of the month of Ani, as commanded by Nataraja, walks into Chitsabai to be engulfed into the Parakasha. He disappears there. A little before that, during his stay in Chidambaram, Parameshwara comes to him as a scribe to sit and document all the compositions. The most moving of the Bhakti literature, not just in Shaivam, but the whole of India probably put together. Philosophically superior and emotionally binding. Very pure and direct cry from that of a devotee is what that makes Thiruvachakam a very, very special and highly quoted and widely studied literature. It is pure Shivajnanam that is compiled there. So that is why, while the works of the first three are called together as Devaram, though they have their own special names, the first three volumes of Thirumurai by Jnanasambandhar is called as Thirukadaikapu. The fourth, fifth and the sixth by Upper Brahman is called as Devaram. And finally the seventh is called as Thirupattu of Sundara. Thiruvachakam is put as the eighth in the volume and considered to be a deeply philosophical work to be understood through the commentaries of the learned scholars. Apart from Thiruvachakam, of which you have 51 different titles starting from Shivapuranam, the other work that Manikavachaka has done is Thirukovayar, another very, very spiritually elevating experience that he has had with Shiva, most of it where he considers himself as a soul longing for his Lord. So he sings a lot of songs imagining as a person put in service of Shiva, longing for the love of Shiva and all that, and composes what is called as the Thirukovayar. So you have Thiruvachakam and Thirukovayar, which makes up the 8th Thirumurai in the compilation of 12 of it. And on the specific day, he enters into Chitsabha and he disappears into the Jnanakasha. So this is how all the three of them are individually different but put at the same level, because they've chosen different paths, all leading to Parameshwara in their own way, and lived as best examples for us to choose depending upon our maturity, our school of thought, and our acharyas, the way our acharyas lead us. So that's exactly how each of them are unique in their practices, but when it comes to their philosophy and thought and the undiluted love for Shiva, it is all at the same level. That's how we understand them. I've chosen a few compositions, but due to the lack of time, I'm postponing it to tomorrow. Out of the thousands of works that all of them have done, it is humanly impossible for me to pick few songs probably to bring out their essence, but I thought I'll just at least discuss the first songs of all the three of the Devaram trio. But Manikavachakar, I'm not even venturing into it. I'm totally handicapped when it comes to choosing one song or to comment on Manikavachakar. We need several hours to talk about the greatness. So maybe tomorrow, when we are discussing more in length about the Thirumurais alone, all the 12 Thirumurais, when we'll discuss about an introduction to all the 12 Thirumurais, probably then I'll throw some light on the first composition of all the three Devarams sung. So this is why and how these four devotees of Shiva, three of them, though are part of the 63 ordained devotees, they are considered more important as Samayacharyas, because they have given us, through their works, they have taught us, literally, they are still in our Gurupeetam, seated there, and commanding us and telling us, teaching us with all their love and grace and benevolence, the philosophy more easily, and have documented their life history for us. So that kind of finishes today's lecture, and tomorrow we'll be on the 12 Thirumurais as a basic introduction to all the 12 Thirumurais. Please do join us tomorrow at the same time at 6 o'clock through the same website to get to know about the Thirumurais. Ponnum meipurulum taruvanai, bogamum thiruvum punarpanai, pinnai enpilayai poruppanai, pilayalam thavira panippanai, inna tanmayan endru ariyavonna emmanai, elivanda viranai, annam vaihum vayal padanathu ani aaruranai marakkalumame. வாழ்க அந்தனர் வானவரானினம் வீழ்க தன்புணல் வேந்தனும் ஓங்குக ஆழ்க தீயதெல்லாம் அரண்நாமமே சூழ்க வையகமும் துயர்த்தீர்கவே. வான்முகில் வழாது பெய்க மலிவளம் சுரக்க மன்னன் கோன்முறை அரசு செய்க குறைவிலாது உயிர்கள் வாழ்க. நான்முறை அறங்கள் ஓங்க நத்தவம் வேண்டி மல்க மேன்மை கொள் சைவநீதி விளங்குக உலகமெல்லாம். மூர்த்தியெல்லாம் வாழி எங்கள் மோனகுரு வாழி உள் வார்த்தை என்றும் வாழி அன்பர் வாழி பராபரமே. எல்லாம் ஸ்ரீ தியாகராஜ கிருபை ஸ்ரீ தியாகராஜ மகாராஜோ விஜயதே. ஆரூரா தியாகேசா.